Come up with the rules for the tube game.
Tube as in like the London Underground, or tube
the London
as in like
Underground.
A tube.
All the Instagrammers and TikTokers are gonna go to the Underground. You have to go late when there's not many people on it. And what are the rules?
Okay, so you have to get on the central line and not be sweaty. which is impossible. So that's the first.
Okay, so nobody, so nobody's going to be able to verify this game if it works or not.
But yeah, maybe you have to wear like a heat monitor or something. And then you change at Holborn onto the Piccadilly line.
Oh,
but you can't take the shortcut.
It's amazing. Everybody who's done this has killed themselves. Woo.
And then once you're on the Piccadilly line, you have to get to Covent Garden and walk up the stairs instead of taking the lift.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. And then you have to walk to Leicester Square without bumping into anybody.
Oh no.
And get back on the tube and avoid being called a racist.
Wow. Okay, and then if you do that and succeed, you check your phone and you'll have caught a Mew.
Oh my god, a Mew. I need a Mew. Actually, I have a Mew.
Is Mew, I didn't know if Mew was like as rare in the game as it is in like life. In regular life.
Life is the game.
Like, oh no. that's the tagline.
This is tagline
for the tube
for
game.
Elevator. Tube game. Tube game. Life is the game.
Life is the game.
I want to play a game. It's really lame.
You must get onto the central line
and not be sweaty.
That does call 911 on a ghost. I'm Paul Floor Woman, and I am joined by that horror chick herself, Katie May.
Hi.
Hey. Katie has hit the OGT button, and now we are going all the way down to the 2023 Shudder-hosted horror movie, Elevator Game.
Oh.
I read a story online about a girl who went missing playing the elevator game.
That's the one where you ride an elevator to summon some spirit?
The fifth floor woman.
But if you don't do the game right...
Oh,
no.
Why? Why?
I'm sorry I suggested this, but also not sorry, because that means I didn't have to watch an extra movie.
That's true. You had already watched it for the blog.
Yeah,
so.
I watched it like, I would say about a month ago. So it's
wow.
It's not been too long, but it's not also been enough time that I've recovered from the trauma.
Did you rewatch for this?
No.
Okay.
I have notes, so it's fine.
Okay, good. Right, well, the film was directed by Rebecca McKendry, a former digital marketing and online editor for Fangoria and Blumhouse.com. She was also a podcaster, having appeared in 140 episodes of the Geek Nation podcast, Killer POV, which makes me worry that she may listen to this. I don't know why.
Hi, welcome.
But, hi. You might want to stop there. Sorry.
We apologise and we appreciate female directors, especially those who do horror.
Yay. Women do horror. That is an underrated fact of life. She's also a professor at the USC School of Cinematic Arts and the co-writer of Bring It On, Cheer or Die, a slasher comedy remake of Bring It On.
Wait, why am I... Sorry, why am I recording this podcast right now?
How am I learning about this
how
here?
How have I not seen this movie? Love Bring It On, love horror, love slashers.
Well, you need to watch Bring It On, Cheer or Die.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing tomorrow evening.
I think that's what I'm doing now. And then the rest of this podcast is Katie watching Bring It On, Cheer or Die.
You're going, die, 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 in like a cheerleader outfit.
Whilst I'm like, Katie?
Katie.
Katie. And you just hear the theme tune. The film was written by some guy named Travis Cipella. His second feature after last year's Captive, also on Shudder, with additional writing by her husband, David Ian McKendry, writer of Witch's Brew and Psycho Granny.
Wait, Why am I not watching Psycho Granny?
It's time for a double feature of the McKendry household.
Oh my god, let's do it. Me and you. So I think we should start with Psycho Granny as like a palate cleanser. Not a palate cleanser.
Or are they doing like the life cycle here? Is it like teen, then granny? That's how quickly life moves these days.
I was a teenager and then I hit 25 and I was like, granny. Granny I was like, I want to crochet. What the fuck?
I don't want a cocaine. I want to crochet.
From cocaine to crochet in one easy step.
The Katie Maiden story. Oh, God. Well, critics reacted to this like a dip in their views. Oh, no. Cole Groff at Disappointed Media said, poorly shot, weakly acted, and backed up with a bad script. Elevator Game goes against the formula of interesting horror movies from Shudder. That's the first sentence of the review.
He hit the nail on the head. We don't need to say anything more.
Nor did he, and yet he did. I do want to point out that Matt Donato titled his review for Paste magazine, So-So Horror Has Its Ups and Downs. You hack. You absolute hack.
Hack, but I respect it. I do. This is why I'm not a critic.
It would all really just be puns, thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, but do you remember that time that I made a pun in the title of my review about Men in Black International about, you know, you'll wish you'll be able to neuralize yourself, you know, with this film? And you said, I think that might be too obscure a reference. And I was like, I'm going to do it anyway. And then I got put in a thread of critics who had made that joke. And it was like 100 critics in that thread.
Yeah, I was trying to protect you from the thread.
Yeah, you've always trying to protect me from ending up in a thread. But I was like number 23. I beat out some hard hitters in terms of getting that review out. Getting recognized for my lame puns.
Oh, cool punnings.
Cool punnings. There are no three-men in this particular film, but there were a couple of two-men. A couple of people appeared in Siberia, the Keanu Reeves affair from a couple of years ago. So, yeah, at least some of these people have the warm afterglow of having, within the last 6 years, appeared in a Keanu Reeves film. You can really see it. You can really tell which ones they are.
They've been touched by a god.
They've still got the prince, the golden prince.
The glow.
Yeah. Oh, the afterglow. So, Katie, you cafe bar host. There aren't a lot of memorable lines or characters from this. I've got cafe bar host. What's one thing about Elevator Game that made you wish you'd taken the stairs? Oh my god, hire me, Pace Magazine.
I liked this movie because it reminded me constantly of Jenny Nicholson.
Yes, I also thought about one scene in particular really made me think of Jenny.
There's for those of you who don't know, also why are you listening to this podcast if you don't know Jenny? Jenny Nicholson is a YouTuber that me and Paul are both huge fans of. She has one episode about dark internet rituals where she talks about the elevator game.
Of course.
And that's that is one of the reasons I originally watched this movie, because I was like just scrolling through Shudder and I was like, I need something that's like 90 minutes. Mm. I saw this and I was like, okay, Jenny, let's
this
do
is
it.
Jenny endorsed, and so, you know, she's gonna have to answer for that.
That's what I that was like one of the best bits of the movie, was the fact that I got to think about Jenny for 90 minutes.
Well, let's see if you can spot the sequence that made me think about Jenny.
Okay,
because I do invoke her in a way. But yeah, let's get into what happens in this movie. We start with like a trendy influencer type.
Yeah, she's in the elevator and she's all pretty and young, and she's all like got her phone. She's like, okay, guys, I'm going to play the elevator game.
Yeah.
I told you I was going to do this. I wish you were here with me. But I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I'm just ready for her to die. And yeah, we get the tension of the elevator. Slowly moving up
and down
and then
up again.
But oh no, it's going way too far up, because it turns out if you could do the right combination of floors and then close your eyes, a ghost will get on behind you and will take you up to the 10th floor, where she'll show you her hell dimension that she's got.
She's like, hey, you want to see my hell dimension?
Which is how I try to get women back to my flat.
Oh my god, you do.
I do. It hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
Mm. Soon. And she'll... You know what? The one time it does work?
That's the one.
Yeah, she's the one. She gets got, and we get the opening credits, and it turns out there were two people involved in the production of this movie named Chad.
I feel that movie.
Yeah, this is a Chad movie. Yeah. So, oh god, it's even worse than that though. It's a film about streamers, because we meet our main characters, who are the hosts of a YouTube series called Nightmare on Dare Street.
I had to pause at that point and be like, are you continuing with this movie? Like, I really had to question whether I was going to continue with the movie.
The movie paused itself and asked that. It's like, okay.
Do you want to, you know, when it like, look, you've been watching too much Netflix and it comes up with it, are you still watching? Like, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It was,
you're
like really that.
This?
Like, are you still watching this? Because it's been like 4 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Welcome to Nightmare on Dare Street. I'm your host, Chris Russo. Chloe, we want to tell the folks at home all about today's game.
Today, we're playing Three Kings, which, when played right, will allow us to talk to the spirit of a dead king with the help of these mirrors.
Uh-huh. Talking to a dead king. Wow. I want to tell the folks at home how we're going to throw some spice on this bad boy.
By playing in the abandoned home of serial killer Lester Digby King.
Yeah. See what we did there? Huh? Maddie, what do you got going on over there?
I'm making a saw for protection, so never talk to the dead without one.
Is that the saw from the office break room? Another week of flavorless lunches.
Yeah, well, when shit goes south and we're all huddled inside here, you won't be complaining about bland fries.
Could you make the salt circle just a little bit bigger so we don't have to huddle quite so close together?
Don't forget, this episode is sponsored by Something Green Vegetable Drink.
Well, let's have that feel even longer, because let's meet our main characters. We've got the person who's kind of the corporate boss of this whole thing, Chris Evans.
Yeah, he had Chris Evans energy.
He has an Evans-y
type.
Except
not, like, at all good, like Chris Evans.
Yeah. We've got the main host, who I've called Chad.
Yeah, so this is, he's like a jock, like, hot kind of Asian guy. Called Chris, but yeah, you can call him Chad, that's fine.
We'll call him Chad. I've saved Chris for someone else who's not called Chris, so to avoid confusion, let's call him Chad.
You confuse your listeners so much by making up names for these characters.
Look, I'm sorry, I can't help it now, but there's Alicia Silverstone.
Okay, so she's the one that I called Ashley Benson Light.
That's quite good. Let's call her Ashley Benson Light. I'll try to remember to do that as we go. The guy I've called Pete Davidson, and
the comic relief guy who's like the general geek. Okay, yeah. I didn't have a name for him.
He doesn't look like Pete Davidson, but he feels like Pete Davidson.
Like he fucks.
He looks like he fucks, and that's what I responded to. There's Final Girl.
Yes, I called her Final Girl as well.
Yeah.
Like, she's got brown hair, so she's the Final Girl.
She's not giggling a lot, therefore she's the Final Girl. And of course, our main character, the intern, Tom Noland.
Oh, I called him Josh Hutcherson. He really has Hutcherson like vibe.
Oh god, he looks like about five different generic white actors all got into the teleport machine from The Fly and came out as this. Also, he's meant to be a high schooler, which is hilarious.
Yeah, he's supposed to, they're like, all of them are older than him. They're like, they're college friends, and he's like a senior in high school. But this dude is like 30.
Yeah, at least.
You know, like in Christine, where they're all supposed to be high schoolers, but they're all like 30. Oh, yeah. But that's fine, because it was like decades ago, and that's what happened. But this is, this was last year. We don't do this anymore.
Oh, God. But they have a horror show, but nobody cares about it, which I find relatable. So they decide to do the elevator game. Oh, but that's boring. Well, let's do it anyway and make a whole movie about it. You really don't need to identify the problems with this movie for us.
We have notes.
We can get there. I can, however, tell that this was written by an ex-marketer, because a lot of discussion is had about the business of running a YouTube channel. Way more than you would think or want.
I got, like, you know when we watched Old, right? And we were like, it's like M. Night Shyamalan wrote down, like, traits of all these characters, and he wanted to be like, this person swam in high school and this person it's like that happened, but they made it even less subtle than M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, hey, and you, do you want to go and I don't know, one of them wanted to do something, did you want to go into law after you finished your degree, and you, did you want to buy your flat that you've been trying to save for, and you, and I'm like, oh, you just wrote down one singular thing that each of these characters want. Yeah. And that apparently playing the elevator game will make all of these dreams come true for some bizarre reason.
It's the key to all of their happiness. We also get a little tour of the office. Are we going to need this? Is this going to come up again?
You come back to the office one time and you only go outside.
Absolutely. Oh, God. Look, in a series of shots that just scream, we need to get this to feature length, they move from the office to the actual place with the elevator in it.
Elevator, yes.
The elevator.
Oh no, we just ruined one of the one better things.
Oh no. Oh god, I haven't even thought about that, but it's going to be hard to think of other horror-based elevator movies. That is an underpopulated letterbox list. Or is it? I'm actually going to find out. But for now, what's her name? The lead final girl is like, hey, I looked online and found all this lore. Who composes all of this? There's always web pages online about the stuff that happened that always turn out to be correct. Who's doing it? Who's this master hacker?
Me. It's me.
It's you. You're composing all the lore.
It's Jenny Nicholson.
Oh, no. God bless her and her researching. They talk about the history of elevators for a bit, but it's all wrong because it doesn't mention Hugh Jackman. And finally, they have set up and can go into the elevator, so... Which I've just realised is the big what thing I'm excited to happen. Oh boy! They're going in the elevator!
Oh yay. My god!
They're gonna go up! So, yeah. They finally make a video to make the sponsors happy. Just about remembering to have a single shot of the one reason they had to do this. Which is to get the corporate sponsor logo in shot. They do that, like, once. Why couldn't that have been an insert into an existing video?
I don't know.
Anyway.
That's what, like, YouTubers do now. They're like, hey, I'm just going to cut away for 1 second to show you my sponsor. And that's when I skip to, you know. And what's really useful on YouTube is they have that thing where it's, like, most replayed.
Oh, yeah.
You just go to that because that's where everybody else has skipped.
Unless it's Jay Foreman. He makes them funny.
Unless it's Jenny Nicholson. You've got to watch him. Because she doesn't do ads because she has a good enough Patreon.
Because she has an army of Patreon people.
And I am in that army of Patreon. She's the only person that I Patreon.
Oh my god. Scandalous.
I know.
So, Chad, Final Girl, and young Sheldon Davidson all get into the elevator together. And I have this dawning horror that nothing's going to happen this time, and that you'll have an unsuccessful run followed by a successful one later. But don't worry, the movie's a bit stupider than that, fortunately.
Yeah.
They have another chat about how boring this premise is. Stop it! I paid for Shudder!
Chris pitched that one last year.
Yeah, we decided that no one wants to watch us ride an elevator for 20 minutes.
Sounds like an easy shoot, though.
Why did you pay? You could have had my login.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Well, now I have Shudder, everyone. But
welcome to more One Good Thing movies.
Oh no,
horror.
Oh god. Hey, should we use the disappearance of that real girl for our trashy internet thing? Yeah, let's do it. Okay. And they set up their thing. That was the sequence that reminded me of Jenny Nicholson and her worst ghost hunting show of all time.
Oh,
where they talk about using the real people. It's like, yeah, that's not cool, but Final Girl does it, so okay, give her a pass. Yes, this is boring. You were right.
Yep.
You guys, that was a good call. Yeah, this is bad content. Security guy comes, but fortunately he can't really be bothered and is on the phone because he's probably exhausted from the long shifts he's done. So thanks, late stage capitalism, you saved us again.
Yay. So they like hide from him and then they come back out and then they like... Then they come back down and there's some sort of kerfuffle argument between them. Right?
Yes.
And then there's an argument in which it's revealed that Josh Hutcherson.
Oh, God. The whole plot happens in, like, with nothing having happened for most of the movie. Suddenly, there is a tremendous amount to recap.
Unless you have anything else that you can throw together in under a week.
Chris is just afraid that this is all going to tie him back to Becky. The girl who went missing. Chris knows her. Right? She's a huge fan of the show, and then you hooked up with her.
How do you know that?
I'm her brother. I found your DMs on her laptop. She told you how much she loved the show. And then you had sex with her. A week later, she went missing. You know, she was just a freshman.
Is this true?
Come on, man. I was in high school then.
High school was a month ago.
You hooked up with Becky and then you ghosted her.
But not before telling her all about the elevator game. You told her to play it and record it, that you'd put it up on the web and make her famous. When you stopped responding, she decided to play it on her own.
Yes, it turned out Chad got off with the girl from the opening who went missing, and Tom Noland is her brother.
You're calling him Tom Noland, I'm calling him Josh Hutcherson.
Oh, sorry, Josh Hutcherson is, Josh Noland is is actually her brother, and planned to get them all got by the same ghost? No, the plan was to find her, which is why he didn't go with them, I guess.
Yeah, so he's trying to find his sister, who was the girl from the beginning, who's stuck in this other world, and he wanted them to do it because Chad, hooked up with her or something. Yeah. That's the whole story. That's the plot line. Done. That's the plot line. It's over. That's the plot.
Yeah, we're there. But Chad's up a bit, and then they all get got by security. And it's looking, the bad guy's gone off. I guess maybe we can have a conversation about how to move forward. No, you lied. And this is a movie, so that's unforgivable, and I'll be mad at you for the next act. I feel like I would not be as upset by this as literally every movie character is. Like, oh, hey, when we met, I didn't mention that I'm actually secretly the brother of this other thing that's going on. Oh, cool, you are. That's neat. Like, everybody's so upset when this comes out. In every movie ever.
Like, they're upset with him and they're also upset with Chad. Like, everyone's upset. I think obviously it's a device to separate them because you need to be like, oh, let's separate everything so horror can happen. By the way, we are halfway through the movie and no horror has happened apart from the first scene.
Yeah, there's been no elevator action. But I just always find that to be such an irritating trope where it's like, oh God, now there's going to be this whole drama thing motivated by nothing. It's like, hey, what does it matter? I was a stewardess when we met. That's not what counts. The point is you lied to me. I'd have forgiven you if you'd said straight away. Now I don't see how we could ever be friends.
Dun, dun, dun. Because there's like some sort of like romance. There's two kind of romances going on. There's a romance between Ashley Benson Light and Chris Evans.
Yeah. that was sweet.
And then there's which was the one that I actually was like, okay, this could be a thing. And then there's a romance between Josh Hutcherson / Tom Holland and the final girl.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's not a thing. It's not gonna be a
wasn't.
Thing.
It wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
But yes. Oh shit. Chad gets got and he gets CGI'd a bit.
He got real quick.
To his apparent bemusement. So, yeah, Tom Noland tries the game again and finds his way to the red world. Oh, it's so alternate universe-y. And, he finds a woman, but it turns out it's not his sister, it's the scary chick, and she's all horror movie, so she moves weird.
Yeah, she's like a bendy kind of...
She's got the bendies.
She's got the bendies when you're horror movie-ish.
Yeah, when you get possessed or something.
I wish
you could
bend that way.
Yeah. Double-jointed people can, but apparently they're all evil, according to the movies I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen those movies too.
Yeah, I try to marginalize them when I get the opportunity to. So, Chris Evans and Alicia Silverstone come back for a camera, but, Ashley
Benson Light.
That's it. They come back for the camera, but decide to have a lark anyway. For lols. Might as well. So they do the elevator game again. Meanwhile, Chris Evans delivers a bunch of... that's it. They're in the elevator, and Chris Evans suddenly starts delivering a bunch of lines off screen. His mouth is never in shot when he's delivering his whole backstory about what's gone wrong.
Yeah, and how he's like podcast. Can't live at his house or something. He's like lost his flat or something.
Which, incidentally, none of which is going to matter because they both die in the very
like,
next
immediately.
Moment. Yeah, instantly.
They have no like romance real. Like they could have had a kiss or something. No. Also, I have to mention that they went in because she inexplicably lost the footage.
Yes.
That's why they went in to play the game again.
So it
seems, she's the
yeah.
camera lady. She's the techie lady.
She is the techie lady, as you can tell by the number of times she shakes her iPad. So
shake the iPad. That's her theme tune.
It's the only way to get it to work. Yeah. So Noland gets the elevator back to reality after having a quick nap on the way, it seems. He gets into the elevator after they accidentally call it. And yeah, he decides to call Final Girl, and she's doing her research montage, but is kind of happy to break off to do some supportive friend stuff. You know, you don't have very long in your movies, so you have to kind of balance these things. Oh my god, what about a resource management / time management game, but / a movie? So you've got 90 minutes. On your turn, do you want to invest in research so you're better prepared for the final confrontation? Fixing up wounds so that your health is better, or having bonding time with friends? And it's like those kinds of decisions throughout the film, throughout the game. So is that in there? Develop it?
Yeah, I think we could get on that.
Yeah. let's start a crowdfunder and see how far we get. Pete Davidson is at a bus stop, trying to get home, it seems. It's another thrilling sequence, but oh no, she's on the bloody roof! He antics his way across town, picking up salt on the way.
He does. He has a really weird scene where he goes into a bar and collects all the salt.
Where he assaults
and they,
a
like,
bunch of people.
And then they call the police. And well, of course call the police. This guy's a maniac.
Salt, gotta find salt. Okay, this will do.
Can I help you?
No. I'm good. I see my party sitting right over there.
I need this, actually.
Okay, so it's a door. It has to be. It's a portal. It's the only explanation.
And then
because she's a sleep paralysis, a walking nightmare, slept between the existence and... I'm done with that, thanks.
Absolutely. Go and buy some salt on the way. It's not that expensive, my dude.
Yeah, and it's particularly difficult to do when you have no internal monologue. That makes it really difficult to get away with anything, because you have to say everything you're doing out loud. Oh god, so yeah, Noland spends some time explaining stuff that we've already seen, which is this movie's specialty, is just explaining stuff that we know or have seen and just don't need explained. We must be getting close to 90 minutes by now, guys, you don't need to keep doing this. But Davidson makes a salt circle so they can do some more exposition in it. And Final Girl tells us who the elevator girl is. Do you remember any of this?
At like a sorority party or something, right? And she got in an elevator, but it was underneath the elevator shaft or something.
Okay.
And she got crushed.
She gets like, well,
she got stuck, like her friends leave her there, they get drunk, they forgot that she was there, she couldn't get out, and then in the morning when the office workers come, the elevator goes down and she gets crushed.
Yeah.
And that's why the creepy lady is who she is.
Yeah. That's why there's a elevator and she's all bendy. Oh boy, there's a song, an iconic song from our childhood.
What is that song?
Hmm? What song?
You were just humming a song.
Yeah, guess I was. I don't know, probably heard it somewhere. Pretty catchy.
I heard it too. When I was there, she was humming it.
It's really familiar. The elevator goes up, comes back down, and then... The elevator song.
But wait, the song. The iconic song. It tells us the solution to the problem.
Oh my god.
We have to close the door. Thank god that song.
We never
could have figured that out. Yeah. Nothing. They'd have stayed in that salt circle until they died. But fortunately, there was a song to tell them to just go back in the elevator.
So they have to go back, do the elevator game again,
yeah,
and then shut, like, the other world away forever.
Yeah, Davidson dies. And he's gone.
With final girl and main guy.
Main guy.
What are we calling him? Josh Hutcherson.
Josh Hutcherson. They mace a security guard and get back in the elevator.
Yes.
Yeah, time to do that again. There's a tense sequence of them going up.
And down.
And down.
And up. And
it's
down.
As riveting as it ever was. They get very close, but Final Girl just can't help but look, and she gets popped. She was technically the final girl.
Yeah, technically. Yeah. But she was not the final girl, you know?
No, Nolan is the final girl, and he, unfortunately, then gets movie edited.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
So, I guess the elevator's just going to continue to exist, killing TikTokers. Oh, no.
And then we get a final scene with another chick. Like, yeah. It skips, like, a year or something. And yeah. She's like, and these YouTubers mysteriously disappeared during the elevator game, and now I'm going to play it.
Ugh. How does this information keep getting out? Is the question.
And that's it. And
that is it.
Thank God. Honestly. How did I get through this movie?
I don't know how any human being got through this movie. How did you find it?
Well, right off the bat, the script is awful.
Oh, God. Yeah. The script and the visual presentation just tells you that you are watching something very cheap and extremely low effort.
Yeah. The characters are very one-dimensional. Like I was saying, it's like they picked, like, one thing for each character.
Yeah.
Like, he's the jock, she's the hot camera girl, and then they've got the researcher nerd, and then they've got the true believer, and it was and the manager guy, and it was all so like these people have nothing to them. I don't necessarily need them to have like a fully fleshed out backstory. This is a horror movie after all.
Yeah,
but you have to have something or nothing. Just don't give them any extra bits. Like, it's fine. Well, they're just a group of friends. I don't need anything really.
Yeah, I think so. It's just, to me, it bespeaks minimal effort. But that in and of itself is relatively interesting, because I'm kind of interested in this model, because it reminds me of what we learned about Roberta Findlay at the excellent Miskatronic Horror Institute a few weeks ago. You and I went to the horse hospital.
Awesome.
It was so much fun, and we have to go back soon. I do believe there are more lectures coming up, so we got to go do more of those. But the one we watched was about Roberta Findlay, who was an absolute, I guess you would just call her a hack, right? Like, she just made cheesy horror movies.
She started off as a porn director.
Yeah. Started off making porn, and then just transitioned into horror just because it was easy. It was easy to do, and it was easy to make. And it is what is called a pulp genre, and it always has been.
Yeah.
Which means that there is a very high level of demand, a low expectation of quality, and low barriers to entry. Those three things make your genre pulp. And there've been loads of pulp genres throughout the year, from the old penny dreadfuls and detective novels, you know. And because of the low barriers to entry and the high demand, it does mean that a lot of really good people can get their start in it. But also it means that there are a lot of people out there just trying to make a quick buck, just trying to produce something very efficiently. And it seems like Shudder, who have, you know, best known for their originals, are also quite content to sort of buy up stuff and put it on their channel, because I imagine they have quite a lot of demand to meet in order to keep people signing up. So you make a movie with minimal effort, you invest in a good poster, which this movie does kind of have. Like, there is a relatively good poster for this thing. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. You just put it on the site and some people will click on it. And this is the case for all of these movies that have the word exorcist or shark in them, you know,
shark.
All these things, because you could just do it. You could just crank them out, put them on there, and people will eventually watch them. And even if it doesn't have very good reviews, at least your poster can be just part of a montage, you know, of movies that they have, and might draw people in thinking it looks like something more entertaining than it is. So it's very cynical. What's your relationship like with Shudder? You mentioned being a subscriber.
I was a subscriber up until I literally cancelled it this month. Okay. Just for money reasons. It's not that I don't like Shudder. I have watched quite a lot of Shudder since I've had it.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's like almost not a background watch. It's just a, I like horror and I'm happy to put on some crappy horror.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
And every now and again, I watch one, and I'll mention this in one better thing, that I'll really like.
Yeah.
So it's kind of almost like shifting through the...
Yeah.
Shifting through the sludge
yeah,
to find an odd gem.
I think generally speaking, that's what it often comes down to.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Which is... But, okay, let's get back to what we thought about this movie.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's just... Yeah, for me, that is what I think of this movie, though. It is just a very bland piece of just horror fodder, you know? This is exactly what you'd expect it to be. There is no spark of inspiration or, you know, little bit of talent to show off, you know, oh, wow, there's so much going on here. Like, the horror sequences are really dull. The scare sequences don't have good atmosphere. The sequences in the elevator really are just boring. There's no sense of atmosphere to them. And it just, there's nothing here to really bespeak a sort of great skill behind the camera.
Yeah. I also,
or in front of.
Yeah. Agreed. I also thought that the setting was just a bit wrong. So it's set clearly contemporary, but there's no Instagram or TikTok from them anyway.
Mm.
They're not like, and it's YouTube, but it's not even branded YouTube. It's just like generic video streaming site.
Yeah.
They should have scrapped that and just had them be a TikTok channel. Or,
yes,
even better, right? They said it in like the early 2000s.
Oh, sure.
Said it earlier, so there's no TikTok, it doesn't even exist. Or no Instagram, it doesn't even exist. To have it on like MySpace or something. Have it like early YouTube.
Yeah.
Like really early. And then when you flash forward to the girl that's doing the TikTok... It would be like 10 years ago or like, you know, 15 years ago.
Sure.
So I mean, then it's more like, it's more believable that they're not using Instagram or TikTok because you don't want to have to pay for the rights to use those massive companies. Like, I just think that would have added a little bit to it because then it would have been like a bit retro and you could have had like cassette tape players or she could have been using actual film or, do you know what I mean? And then like, oh no, I lost the film because it's not on an iPad. It's on like... It just would have added a little bit more element. But I'm one of those people that's like, set everything earlier. Let's get rid of social media from every movie.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, that is the first instinct of quite a lot of horror movies, is to set it, you know, a long time ago in the 80s or you know, things like that because of the nostalgia factor. But I am interested. There's a potential there to do something with, you know, an Instagram horror and all these TikTok challenges that people are doing. There's scope there. You know,
well,
the most...
I'll come to that in one better thing.
Well, indeed. The most recent movie I can think of that did something with sort of modern social media stuff is Host, which, you know, was a horror movie set on Zoom and actually made use of Zoom and some of the features there, you know. And, you know, there's a couple of things that are interesting. Like, one thing, did we watch a movie where, you know how phones have that thing where when there's a face, it will put a little square around your face to, like, indicate, here's the face, I'll put it in focus. And it starts putting a square in the middle of nowhere, and you think, oh, the phone can see a face there. I feel like, is it one of the paranormals, perhaps?
It could be. It definitely rings a bell.
Yeah, little things like that. Like, actually, a unique scare that only happens because of this particular thing. But to be honest, this kind of reeks of people who wrote this didn't really know all that much about it. And as for paying for rights to use various platforms, they do have the YouTube logo, actual YouTube logo, and Instagram and TikTok logos in the movie. And I imagine there's something you have to do to clear that. Because it wasn't that long ago you had movies like The Pact, where our main character does all of her research through, I think it was called something like Google or something like that. Like, there were still issues with using Google. So... I don't know. It just that I can see how there may have been potential in some aspects of this, but ultimately I just found it quite dull.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no horror until at least halfway, apart from the opening scene. Yeah, and I mean, one of the deaths happens off screen.
Yes. So... Yeah. Oh God, the gore effects are... Well, there's a couple.
There's
we'll
a couple.
This in
we'll
quick
come,
fire.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yes, the actual deaths and scares don't inspire much in the way of anticipation for the next one, which is in a movie like this, really all you've got is, oh god, I hope something happens soon. Anyway, let's quickfire.
Bang, bang, bang.
Quickfire.
There was one stupid death that I liked.
Okay.
A hand goes through someone's throat. Yeah.
It looks quite good.
And I was like, practical. Okay, yeah, I'm okay with this hand going through a throat death.
Yeah, it actually looked like they may have actually done that. we mentioned it earlier, but I do actually quite like the potential hinted at romance between Ashley Benson-Light and Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Well, you're still alive. That's a good sign.
I am. Been sleeping at the office ever since.
Or you can stay at my place until you get things figured out with your folks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, that character could have been played in such a broad sort of sleazy way. And maybe in some version of the script, you know, it was implied that she slept her way into getting this job or something. But in this moment, she's just like, she's showing agency. She's coming on to him a little bit. Like,
yeah,
it was cute.
I liked it. It was like you kind of believe that they had a flirtation before that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I didn't completely hate the visual effects in the red world.
Okay, just like the red tinting and such.
Yeah, the red tinting and also the X in the sky.
Oh, okay, yes, that's what... I thought the X was...
It's in the red world.
Okay, because there is one underneath
elevator. No, you're right, yeah. It comes out of the red world and he sees the X. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
okay. I like that. I was like, that's a bit creepy. If I saw an X in the sky, I would be creeped out. Okay with that because I would be creeped out if I saw that. Okay.
I quite liked the design of the actual ghost herself was all right.
Yeah, it was adequate.
Like, it wasn't too cliched because the big cliche thing now is just the elongated mouth kind of thing. And, you know, it had a slightly spooky feel to it where a couple of times. And the way she moved, you know, when our main character first sees her and she like lurches towards him is quite good. So. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was all right.
I think probably the best part was the prologue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was, like, a better final girl.
Yeah.
Even though she had, like, one scene, apart from the bit where she turns up very briefly as, like, a spectre in the end. I just think she played her part quite well.
Yeah.
And she's actually the person on the picture of the... Like, when you go to Shudder to watch it, she's the person on the picture. And I'm like, she's in it for like 5 minutes.
Amazing.
But I thought she was probably the best actress out of all of them. So I give her props for that, whoever she is. Well done, prologue chick.
Final girl, Chloe. I thought her death with the head popping was very quick, very abrupt. I like the idea of it. Like, she opens her eyes and then immediately is killed. And I thought that was quite good.
Yeah, that was one of mine as well.
Yeah. I'm out. Do you have any
I'm out. That's it for me.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to ask the OG team, so let's go straight to the one better thing.
One better thing.
The one better thing.
How many
what
got?
Have you? I've got two.
Okay. Is one of them devil?
No.
Should we do devil anyway? Because
let's do devil.
It's the only other horror I can think of that's elevator.
So... There's Devil, it's the M. Night Shyamalan produced, but who are we kidding? It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. That
we have
previously
bad.
Covered on this podcast with a friend of the podcast, Helen Gaffney. So go back and have a listen to that. It's certainly got its moments. Like, I remember watching it again. I remember watching that episode that Christmas when I was really sick. It was me and Mum here alone in the flat, and I was so sick I had to go to hospital on, like... New Year's Eve. I was really, really unhappy and watched Devil and then recorded a thing about Devil. So that was good. Just, yeah. I think it's a little tricky one for me to listen back because I just hear how sick I am.
Aww.
I think that's the sickest I've ever been as an adult.
I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the sickest I've ever been. I've been as an adult.
No, mine was COVID.
My COVID was okay.
Also, I did... I don't want to ruin Devil for everyone.
I don't want to ruin COVID for everyone.
I don't want to ruin Devil, but I did kind of get. I was like, that's the person who's the devil, like straight away.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I was right. But yeah, go watch Devil. It's just for fun.
Just go watch Devil. Why not?
Okay, so let me start with my my Shudder one, because I wanted to do one that was like Shudder so I could tell people that Shudder's not terrible. And that's Influencer. So Influencer is one of the reasons I got Shudder, because I really wanted to see it. And it's good. It's about a girl who is an influencer, and then she meets, she's in Thailand, and she meets another girl who's not an influencer, who's like not on Instagram, and they have a good time together, and then second girl turns out to be crazy psychopath. And it's really good. It's, if you want something that's like Gen Z based influencer with like Instagram, but also really good gore, creepy final chick, like, no, she's actually not a final girl, because she's also like the baddie. So if you want something where you're kind of rooting for the baddie, which I like sometimes, where you're like, okay, she's doing some murdering, but I'm bored with it. Then I definitely recommend Influencer. It's not like it's not a 5-star film, but it's, you know, it's a Shudder film. But I it's definitely better than this. And it's beautiful because it's set in Thailand. And the acting, especially of the chick who is the brown-haired girl, who is also in... it's another Shudder film that's set at Christmas, the one they just brought out last year. I can't remember what it was.
It's A Wonderful Knife.
That's it. She's in that.
Right.
She seems to be like she's gonna be like a horror chick. So yeah. Recommend that for the Shudder.
Also, you know, you're on board with her, even though she's murdering some folk. That's also Lisa Frankenstein. Starring an actor I'm really hoping is going to become a sort of big horror chick, Catherine Newton.
Is in Abigail, which we're going to see on Friday. Yeah.
Oh god, she was so at risk of getting absorbed into the MCU. I'm so glad that she's gone weird.
She was in what was she in before this?
Well, she was in Paranormal Activity 4 back in the day, which I didn't realize.
She was in another horror movie before Lisa Frankenstein.
Freaky,
that's it.
Yeah. She was also, she went very mainstream for a bit. She was in Lady Bird, Three Billboards, and Blockers, that comedy movie, and Detective Pikachu. So I'm very glad that she's back on the sort of cult
train
now.
Utopia.
She played Detective Pikachu. So... she did the mocap. So my one is a 5-star review, because I'm going to recommend... It's not quite the same. It's not an elevator. It's a boat. It's Uninvited, which me and Katie saw last week.
Like, we saw it on a ship.
On an actual boat.
It was so good.
Yep. It was a delirious piece of programming by the excellent London film programmer Token Homo. If you can see any of his stuff, please do, because it wasn't just that the movie was amazing that he had picked. He was amazing as well.
He's so great. Whole experience was really great. It's on a place called Theatre Ship. If you're from London, Theatre Ship don't just do horror. They do all sorts. Go follow them on social media and you'll see what they do.
Yep. Absolutely. And he mentioned also there's going to be another Theatre Ship. Keep an eye on that. But Uninvited is hilarious. It's about a genetically altered mutant cat that escapes from a laboratory.
It was so good, you guys.
Within the first few minutes, the cat has killed someone. And it then finds its way onto a luxury yacht that's being driven to the Bahamas by the sort of corrupt evil businessmen, one of whom is George Kennedy from the Naked Gun movies. The other of whom is just a legend. I don't know who the actor is, but he's hilarious. And they bring along a bunch of young sort of teenagers along with them just to party whilst they make their escape. And the cat kills them all. It's so good. It also is a little bit affecting as they're stuck on this boat in the middle of nowhere with this cat. And they don't know how to get out. It's kind of freaky. It's directed by Graydon Clark, who is a excellent sort of horror icon, and by all accounts a really good guy. So
yeah, definitely, for sure, highly recommend. Also, it's one of those horror movies where you need no brain space, you know.
Absolutely.
I do have another one.
Okay.
Where you need a bit of brain space.
Oh no.
And I don't know whether this is a bit of an out there suggestion, and the only reason I'm suggesting it is because the elevator game is set in like a high rise, like an office.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I heard like high-rise office, this movie came into my head.
The Belko experiment.
That's the Belko experiment. Yes, the 2016 Belko experiment. It's about a social experiment where Americans are locked in this high-rise corporate office in Colombia, and a kind of unknown voice over the tannoy is getting them to do tasks to survive. Ultimately, like, they won't all survive. And I love this movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I've heard really good things. I've actually not seen it, but I remember the trailer was everywhere.
You should watch it, for sure. Yeah, it's an 18, so you can tell there's going to be some blood.
Love that. Produced by James Gunn, if I remember correctly, which is a fun
conceit.
I have one more as well. I haven't seen the one I'm about to recommend. All I know is the film is called The Lift, or De Lift in German.
De Lift.
It is from 1983, and I think because we're actually doing quite well for time, that we should watch the trailer together right now.
Oh, share. Are you going to share your screen?
I'm going to share my screen. Okay. Watch
Make
the
sure it's got
for...
subtitles, because my German isn't very good.
Sounds good to me. All right, let's go.
Deep inside this vertical city, a machine has come to life.
Present.
A machine with a terrible secret.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. A machine with a touch. Oh my gosh, you guys.
Modern technology gave birth to the lift.
Oh my god, no. What? Oh god.
The lift has made itself smarter.
Oh my god.
Stronger.
Oh my god, this guy. No, don't go in there! Don't go in there! No, blind guy, you're gonna fall!
Oh god! I killed the fuck up that guy's chair!
I'm on the chair!
No! Oh god!
The man responsible for making it safe is trying to make it stop.
Oh my god.
Oh no! He's an evil.
Safety inspector.
Oh no, he's goody, sorry. Make a stop.
No, no. I feel like we've watched the whole
movie. Music. That's why she says foreign music.
For God's sake, take the stairs.
Take the stairs. Yes, oh my days.
Sublime.
That was absolutely the most wonderful thing. I cannot wait to see that movie.
Yep,
no, I do feel like we just did see that movie. That was quite an informative trailer.
I mean, that's the thing. That was the cheesy sort of nature of horror back in the day, is you would just put everything good in the trailer and just have people show up. Like, oh my god. Anyway, that was wonderful. That's definitely a one better thing. I know nothing about it except that, and I think it's better. So watch The Lift, and I think that's just about going to do it for the one better thing.
One better thing.
One better thing. Katie, how can people find out more about you and that horror chick?
Oh my god, I have not posted in a very long time. No. I have a blog, it's thathorrorchick.com, where I post horror content. I should update it soon, I'm just terrible. But it does have all of the podcasts that I've done with Paul and other people on there as well, linked. So you can go back and just listen to the horror ones if you want. Also, Creative Psychopaths is an episode with them.
Yeah.
And I have Twitter. At Horrorcheck blog. I don't post on there either. But,
but give it a follow.
Give it a follow. What about you guys? Where is one good thing?
One good thing is at OGT Pod, and you can just do that and get involved. We've got a Patreon where we've got loads. Oh my god, we've got so much content in the Patreon. I don't know how easy it is to scroll through all of that, but I think you can get the RSS feed and, you know, explore it in a medium that's actually good. So, but get the podcast at the Patreon app and have a scroll through, because yeah, we've got so much content from literally everyone who's appeared on this show, and some nudes, so go check it out.
I'm checking it out right now for the nudes.
I'm Paul Nudes,
and I'm that hard check.
Remember, the one good thing about, what was this movie called?
Elevator Game.
That's it. The one good thing about Elevator Game is that these teams, yeah, sometimes they get blowed up. And that's pretty good.
These characters all died. Is the best thing about
The best thing is they're all dead.
They're all dead.
And it's a blessing for them and us.
Bye.
Bye.